I don't remember.
Tell me your first memory.
Hey there. You on the table. I wonder if you'd mind taking a brief survey. 5 questions. To start out, who are you?
Welcome to the Midlife Hour with Bob and the homie DP. I want to jump right into this one. This shit was crazy with a, what would you call it, like a corporate team building exercise or a trust fall into chaos?
Retreat. Bit of a cold open. I think the fact that the episode began with them in the middle of nowhere and tried to figure things out as they went along was supposed to invoke into the viewer what it feels like to be an innie, right? You just wake up somewhere and you go. You don't really have any control of that. You don't have any knowledge of how you got there, what transpired. So I thought from a direction point of view, that cold open.
And let's talk about the cold open. It's opens up with Irving. In the middle of a frozen lake, screaming at a Mark S. at the top of a cliff. I thought that was a nice way to put it. This, how would you put it?
Cinematography?
Cinematography was amazing for that. What did you think?
I thought visually this episode overall was impressive. It almost felt like a cinematographer vanity project, right? Like, there was a ton of different scenes throughout this little journey that the crew was on. Whether it was close-ups or taken behind a tree, you know, like everything was very beautiful. They're very intentional shots. However, that was pretty much most of the entire episode.
As far as what, you didn't get anything?
45 minutes of camera work for the sake of camera work and 5 minutes of plot development. That was this episode.
Okay, so just real quick for my shits and giggles, what is your plot development that they put in there real quick for this episode, the 5 minutes?
It's the reveal of Helly, and it's the potential erasure of Irving, as well as the brief glimpse of Gemma when Mark S. and Helly are.
Like who I was on the outside.
In the climax.
That was the only plot development this episode. 45 minutes of the shit was a weird ass story for the sake of being weird about Kier and his brother jerking off, meeting a zombie lady, and dying.
Holy fuck. The holiest.
So before we go into the weird ass story, then, is Irving. I think we're going to see Irving again. There's no way where we're not going to see him again. He's going to be back probably end of this season, early season 3. But
of course he'll be back, just not as Irving. Not as any Irving.
Irving be as dead.
No, because Mark S. is already in the process of reintegration. So that means that Audi and any Mark are going to know what happened with Irving, and Audi Mark will go look him up and let him know what's going on, and they'll probably team up towards the end, probably in the finale.
It was like
I just realized my mic was way away for that entire time.
Yeah, way better, by the way. Way better.
You should have said something, homie.
Holy shit. I thought it was a technical issue on my end. Well, we talked about how it was like a corporate Lumen retreat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like we don't know if it was for a disciplinary thing as far as the MDR. What was it? The MDR contingency plan. They took him outside.
Holy shit! Out fucking side! Oh my god, I mean, I knew there was no actual ceiling, but this is fucking insane!
I thought it was interesting how it was the first time that their innies actually got to sleep for the first time, other than Irving, because he fought in season 1, he fell asleep quite often at his desk. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But, and maybe Dylan on waffle parties. Possibly.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting just to walk in the woods. I don't know. You said that it was boring for you, possibly.
90% of this episode was worthless. It was beautiful cinematography. It was the peak weird shit, but none of it moved the plot forward until the last 5 minutes.
So then let's talk about Helly and Mark. They get it on. And personally, I think that could be considered rape if you flip the script in and if you put a man in there that is no, you know, his severed personality has a romantic relationship with a employee and he goes in there knowing that and then flips the script. No, I'm going to sneak in here. That's a little creepy. So
I'm going to say no for the reasons you've described and present you with another perspective that actually supports your opinion. So I don't think it's great based on the reasons you stated, right? With the idea that Mark S. is unaware of what Mark on the Audi Mark is unaware of what any Mark is doing. I think the bigger issue is that any Mark thinks that he's having consensual intercourse with Helly, but it's really Helena. I think that is the issue.
And that's a big one. That's a huge one.
Where the genders reversed, it would 100% hold up in court.
It would be morally fucking gray at best. And that's, you know, just saying. Where else does it leave us off? Irving, it keeps talking. His hunches about her are completely right from prior episodes. I like that he keeps calling her out. And I like that you can see her face completely change when she goes to the campfire.
What did you really see during the overtime contingency?
I told you.
When it's just him by himself?
So, Helly, tell us about him. And right there is the inference is that Milchick just got finished telling the story of the fourth appendix about her father or relative or whatever. I think it is father, right? It's one generation. And the it's implied that he's asking the groups to tell them about her father. But in reality, he follows it up and clarifies that he's talking about the night gardener, right? The infamous night gardener explanation that she created.
Which has racial context all over it.
So stupid. You know, you find it hard to point out a lot of things in this episode because most of it didn't really do anything other than be weird for the sake of weird. What I thought was most interesting was the little dream sequence when Irving was dying and the things that he saw. You know, he saw their workstations. He was at his workstation. He saw Kier. And then the way that all the numbers were manipulated on the screen, it's almost like he was reaching a higher plane of understanding of what he needed to do and whatever those things do. But in the end, he conveniently woke up from the brink of death and sprinted directly to the waterfall where conveniently Helena is there gazing almost as if she's a devout follower of the beliefs of Kerr, right? Because she really is. She's the daughter. She's some big wig
in the tracking system in Irving, and she was just following him. I thought that too.
No, why would she be following him?
To fucking get him back to fall in line. She was bugging him all night.
Went to her.
Yeah, the last time, but she was bothering him because she knew that he was on the fence about her being the fucking Audi the whole time. That's why she went to his camp in the first place. Talking about, here's a seal if you're hungry. Dumb bitch. Fuck her. Fuck Helena. Helena. I'm not even going to call her I'm going to call her Helena. That's her name. Piece of shit. Evil.
Is she evil?
Yeah. Helly was never cruel.
All right, Irving. Well, Helly was never cruel.
She wasn't. She was never cruel, and that's why he fucking figured that shit out. He was a great detective, personally, and kind of a badass.
Was he really that great of a detective? Because this shit has been broadcast since the second or the first episode. It was clear from the first episode that it wasn't Helly. And for all you little bitches in the Reddit forum who are coming down on everyone telling you that it was fucking Helena, not Heli, and coming up with 500 billion explanations as to why everybody else was wrong for seeing what they saw with their own eyes, how does it feel? They broadcasted this big reveal all season long. So, of course, Irving would figure it out. The only reason Dylan and Mark S. didn't is because they're stupid.
Is the story of Keir walking through the woods with his brother a story, a really long jack-off story about him just planting a seed all over the wood?
You pretty much.
Ben Stiller. Why? Yeah.
I genuinely am starting to wonder if they're just trolling the audience.
Oh, absolutely they are, bro. It's Ben Stiller.
No. Most interested in, I think the entire story is just about the personal interactions between these people and these like big, you know, existential questions about identity than it is about the company or the conspiracy or what the fuck they're actually doing at Lumen. I don't think they'll ever answer those questions.
That, or it could be also just they could be selling the innies for the outies after a while. That's what the company really is. They so you remember that episode of Rick and Morty where you send your shitty version to the toxic waste dump and it goes in there and then you just come back all clean and ooh, that's what it is. Your innie is that version and then your outie is just out. Cause I got a feeling if Dylan's wife could buy the innie version of Dylan, she would. If she could have him all the time.
Dylan?
Hi.
Probably. No. But I know that we criticized Dylan, Audi Dylan, a lot on our last podcast. I mean, because shit, even Dylan G did when he met his wife in the family visitation room. But then if you spend a little bit more time thinking about it, if you never experience your workday, right? Put yourself in Audi Dylan's shoes. He goes to work. He has no memory of that. All he knows is being at home. And when he's at home, he's just watching the kids and being a parental figure because his wife has to go to work because they have to support their family. So
Barely watching the kids.
The only thing that he's experiencing is being at home and watching the kids. That's it.
Barely watching the kids at best. But
I'm saying, make Dylan G a female character, and that's most women when they give birth and they have to stay home to raise a kid because they can't afford healthcare, right? And think about the vast amount of sympathy that we as a culture or grace that we give them because of that situation, right? We know that it has an effect on your psyche. Same shit is happening to Dylan because he's never out of the house. That's all his outie or any that's experiencing the workday and being free of.
Okay, fuck Dylan.
Central prison.
We're 13 minutes in. Spoiler alert now. Talk about why Irving is a badass. What did he do to Heli that is so fucking sick and why we can't wait for the next episode?
You know you've already revealed this, right?
I'm editing that. I edited that part out so they haven't heard it. So it's here now.
Hey, next time, limit yourself to one before we record. Anyway, so long story short, four people go for a walk in the woods, arrive at a waterfall, and Irving.
Not like just the waterfall, the world's tallest waterfall.
Yeah, according to these innies who have no measurement of a waterfall. So yes, it's going to be the world's tallest waterfall to them, which I thought was a very funny quirk. But the biggest thing, the most important part of this entire episode, the thing that stood out the most to me, the thing that probably is universally recognized by everyone who watched it, goddamn did Milchick look fly in that white snowsuit.
Goddamn right. I agree with that. You know, he kind of looked like I'm not going to say it, but you know who I want to say.
I know.
You know who I wanted to say. But that's who he looked like.
He did. But go ahead. I'm just trolling. Go ahead, Bob. Talk about the big reveal.
Irving wakes up from a fucking haunted mansion type dream from Disneyland, and he sees Bert.
Ernie.
What's Bert's last name? Bert McCracken. He sees Bert McCracken, and then he sees like this little bald-headed woman. What is it? He called her the Woofalum. What was the name of this chick that he had?
I don't recall the name.
Well, it would look like the little girl from. Anyway, he sees Bert, boom, in his dream. Then he wakes up after he sees this little girl crunching numbers on a computer. Boom. He somehow has like an intuition to go see Helly at the river, down by the river. And then he's like, so, you know, basically, what the fuck you doing here? You know, I still pretty much know you're not fucking Helly. Tell me who the fuck would have the power, if you will, to fucking be on the separate floor when they're out. And I feel like Obama would say like, and who would have the power? Be on the seven with her out. So I shouldn't wait. Go to bed. That's a good Obama. Holy shit. All right. Anyway. And then she's like, you know, it's me. I'm here, sweetheart. I'm here. It's like, fuck that. Melcher. Fucking drags the bitch all the way to the fucking river. Boom, 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 boom. Starts drowning her in the river.
It's Melcher. Remove the Glasgow block now.
Milchick's like, what the fuck? What does he call it? Glasgow, she finally breaks, right? He's drowning her.
Then, Seth,
call it off. Yeah. And then he's like, oh, I love the way Irving acted that part where he's like, oh, Seth, call it off. And then he fucking keeps dunking her in the fucking water. And then you see her face change. And then she comes back up as Helly. And he immediately fucking starts holding her. A little bit too seductively, in my opinion. But that's for the next podcast. We got Helly back. We got our girl back. And I think Mark S. should feel conflicted and great. Because an imposter was... or might have been inside him. We don't know how they make love. How did you feel about it?
I thought it was a long build up for something that we already knew from the get go.
But do you think you have any idea how they make love? Because you don't know. We don't know. Anyway, that's the wrap on the midlife hour on this one.
What are your predictions for the next episode?
You go first.
There'll be another cold open, and it will be Mark S. arriving back at Lumen. However, things will look different. He'll quickly be shuffled off to some room where they're going to have a talk with him about what they experienced and what's going to happen.
With Helly in the room.
Secondly, you know what?
Wait, before you secondly, is Helly in the room or not?
No.
He gets escorted off. Who's in the room?
Milchick and Coble.
Miss Huang or no Coble?
Milchick and Coble.
I'll say Miss Milchick and Miss Huang. No Coble yet.
After this...
Cobell. No Miss Cobell yet.
The way that things went down with this little, you know, snow retreat will be just enough for them to bring her back in to get things under the reins.
I'll put some thought to it.
Because it's going to prove to Helena that Milchick is not the man for the job. Because things keep going wrong when he's in charge. Now, I think the next episode will primarily focus on Mark's reintegration with the flashbacks going back and forth with Audi Mark getting more glimpses of any Mark's memories and vice versa. And then that's where I think they'll probably find Irving and start a reintegration with him or something like that. But I don't think we're getting a lot of answers, and struggling to speak positively about this episode.
I concur on your analysis on the next episode and what it's going to be. I think you might throw in a little bit more Christopher Walken as Bert coming in, because I think now we do know it's official that it was Bert that was talking to Irving Zinni after this episode. I think that's why he knew for a fact Helly was Helena, and that's why he did not believe for a second that she... You get what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying.
I feel you.
That was the message from Bert to Innie. To Innie Irving.
Well,
also, I want to fuck. Like, P.S. I want to fuck. Do you... Checkbox, do you like me, yes or no? That origami, the fucking... All right, send us out.
Peace out, you fetid Moffitts.